4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So we've been over this, and that the idea that sometimes people ask amiss, that they might want things. And first, it talks about how there's fightings and wars, and there's all these different conflicts in the world, and even sometimes in the churches. And it's because of the personal desires and lust that people have that are self-centered and self-serving, that can then get in the way of, you know, the body of Christ being able to operate as one. It talks about how people will ask based on those selfish desires, and they will ask amiss in those ways. And if you, and there's things you might want but you might not need, so God will give it to you. But if you need something, there are times where you will see God moving people's lives. You know, I know personal testimony, people have needed money for something, and God just provided someone who would give them money, or they needed a place to stay, or they needed a ride somewhere, or they needed something, and they just believed that God would provide it, and then it was provided to them. And there's many examples of that in the Bible, but there's many examples of that, you know, in our church and in the body of Christ. So it's good to understand that God will provide things when you need them. And part of, you know, as it talks about the lust that war in your members, and overcoming that is part of the new birth. And that's probably the biggest part of maybe the theme of James, is really overcoming yourself and overcoming your own desires in order to get closer to God. And that's kind of the same things that Jesus was talking about, where it's like, you know, you have to forsake yourself, and you have to, you know, you have to give up, even if you have to, your mother and father, your siblings, or whoever else, to follow Christ, you know, because there's many people, like in the Bible, especially the disciples, where they had to just follow Christ, and whether they did leave their families, or they had to leave their job, or leave, you know, their old life, or the things that they were attached to previously behind, they then had to leave those things in order to pursue Christ. So you have to have that desire to pursue Christ, and the willingness to forsake all else, you know, before Christ, and to stand on Christ. And Brother Branham, in the sermon Convinced and Concerned, he says, a sister said, I'm not what I want to be, I'm not what I ought to be, but there's one thing sure, I'm not what I used to be. I tell you, that's a good thing. You know, when you pass from death into life, when God takes a hold of you and changes your life, and changes everything there is in you, and makes you a new creature. Amen. That's what we need, some lighted candles. Yes, sir. So he's talking there about the quote that a sister said to him, is that she's not where she wants to be, but she's not where she used to be. And that's part of overcoming your lust, is that, you know, there are things that you might still struggle with, and you might still need to overcome, but you are on that journey of constantly trying to, I guess you could say, like, get the fat out of your life, get the fluff out of your life, and focus more on Christ, and make your life a more Christ-centered existence, and to more better serve Him, more better serve the body of Christ and the individuals that might need help, or might need some type of guidance, or just might need to see an example of a true Christian, you know, living their everyday life. And those attributes will manifest in you, which is what the book of James has been talking about the whole time, is that it's not just faith, but you need the works as well to be an evidence of your life, and to overcome those lusts. And that's going to be the evidence, is your faith, but also your works coming into play. And that, you know, faith without works is dead. And there must be things that you are doing. There must be things that on the outside that will be example or a proof of how you feel on the inside. You know, so your actions will say something about how you feel on the inside. Brother Branham says, reminds me of a little cartoon I seen not long ago in the paper in the closing. I might say this. There was a cartoon inside a newspaper. Our home is just across the river, the Courier Journal. And there was a picture of a father and a mother that had been out drinking all night on Sunday morning. It was up about 9 o'clock, and they had pictures of Christ all over the house and Bibles in the drawer and around where they had been laying there sleeping all night. Cigarettes laying on the floor and everything else, and bottles setting up. A little boy had got up, washed his face, eat his breakfast, and got ready. Knocking at the door, say, which one of you all is going to take take me to Sunday school. He said, that's right, no one concerned. So he's talking about a cartoon he saw where, you know, it shows that the parents in their house, they have representations of Jesus. They have a cross in their house. Maybe they have a picture of Jesus in their house. Maybe there's a Bible in their house. And yet they're coming home drunk, and then they're not able to take their kid out to Sunday school the next morning. So it's an example of, you know, people who have the outward appearance of Christians, but if you look at their life and their works, it's not lining up with what they say they believe. They might say they believe in God, but yet when God, you know, in the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and they don't go to church, well then what do they really believe in? You know, how are their beliefs lining up with what they're actually doing in action? And the kid is even noticing this, because the kid wants to go to church. He's like, well, my parents say, you know, going to church is a good thing, and going to Sunday school is a good thing, and doing things for the Lord is good. But when he's trying to emulate what his parents have been telling him, but when he actually tries to do this, now the parents are the ones who are unfit of fulfilling those duties, or are not capable, or not in the right position of doing what they should be in order to fulfill what they say they believe. And the child, in a way, in this cartoon is picking up on that. So it's an example of how our words need to line up with our actions, and we really need to mean what we say, and not just say things, or just have a picture of Jesus in our house, or have a Bible in our house, or we put a Bible in our car, but really to have God living in us, you know, really to be fighting our own lust and fighting our own desires in order to overcome those things. And not that it's just a vain, you know, outward display of what we think we should be portraying to the world, but really it should be an outward display of what we truly believe, and it'll show, and people will notice. Because there's many people who, and I've seen this a lot with maybe with atheists and agnostic people, they had some type of experience with religious people, and then, you know, maybe there was a tragic event or something that happened in their life, and then they didn't know how to handle it. And because maybe the people around them weren't as well equipped, you know, in the word as they should be, they don't have the right spiritual guidance to give that person, and they end up falling away from the truth. But I'm grateful for the ministry that we have here in many message churches, where the ministers are well studied, and they have read the Bible, and they have studied the tapes and Brother Branham's message, so that, you know, if you do ask them a question, if you do go to someone and you need help with something, they can provide some type of spiritual guidance there, and they can provide some type of answer, and not an answer that is based on, you know, maybe a man's philosophy, but an answer that's based on what's written in the Bible, because that is the foundation. It's not going to be based off, you know, if they're given good counsel and wise counsel, it's not necessarily going to be based off of what they think, but it's going to be based off of, you know, something in the Bible, or some principle that's laid out in the Bible that you can, you know, find for yourself. So I worry that there's many people who don't have that same guidance, maybe, who or even people like who don't have maybe spiritual parents who don't live like the kid in the cartoon, who don't have those spiritual parents at home, who really study and really read, and maybe they go to church every once in a while, and they don't really live out the principles of the Bible, and maybe the kid who's raised in that household will maybe later on, you know, fall away from those principles and kind of get disillusioned by God or what the Bible actually teaches. So it's the responsibility of, you know, us as Christians to really live up to the scriptures and to really fulfill the scriptures, and not just for our own sake, but also for the benefit of others, for the benefit of those who we want to live in front of, and we want to minister to, and for the benefit of those who maybe they go through a tough time, and they need to see, as David said, you know, he said then he would have fainted if he had not seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. So maybe the goodness of God needs to be displayed through the people of God, through the church, through the called out ones, through the body of Christ is where the goodness of God needs to be displayed, so that, you know, others can gain their strength from that. So God bless you. You're dismissed.